the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on the Voice of Barbados 92.9 FM. You can call us at 434-1790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture. Well, Barbados against Jamaica, the game played on Sunday, and when the score reached 61-6, I got a call from Cousin David, and he said to me, "Andrew, you see what I tell you, the Jamaicans, no good at all. And it even got worse at 87 for loss of 8, and I said to him that there are some players in the Jamaica side that can stretch the game. They're pretty decent players. And as the old people say, lo and behold, they were able to score 131 runs for the last 2 wickets. And that was the kind of score that I always felt with a team batting last would have given trouble to the Barbados side. Now, Barbados started very well. 127 for 2, and I got another call from Cousin David. He said, "See what I tell you, Andrew, it's easy like Sunday morning." I said, "You never know, a wicket here, a wicket there could present problems to Barbados." And quite amazingly, Barbados losing the last 8 wickets for 26 runs to lose. And the question we're asking from Bridgetown, Barbados to Kingston, Jamaica: what went wrong with the Barbados team? And we've got to look at it this evening. A lot has been said about Jason Holder's captaincy. I've been very critical of him over the years. And I know that he's under the microscope. And in terms of the performance of the Jamaicans, I thought that they were very well led by Rodman and Powell. And we had a situation where the off-spinner was bowling, talking about McCarthy, the uncomplicated off-spinner, to the opening batsman, Shea Hope. And despite Barbados' strong position, the square leg, the mid wicket, the mid on, inside the circle saving one. Because, you know, if you set good fields, it can exert pressure on a batsman and can lure him into error. We didn't see that when Barbados batted. We didn't go for the kill. And the question we're asking, what's the situation with Roston Chase? What's wrong with Mr. Chase? Is he injured? He didn't bowl in that match, and he's the West Indies off-spinner. You had Curtin in the side, and if he's playing as an all-rounder, why didn't he bowl? And my view is that if Curtin is going to play as a batsman, then you could play a Kyle Hope. A lot of questions to be answered tonight. We hope to go to Antigua a little bit later on and speak to the manager. The chairman of selectors, Mr. Hendy Brooms, has consented to come on the show a little bit later on as well, and we certainly will want to discuss it. Lots happening in terms of a Ghana situation. Well, you know, an election is scheduled for Friday, but I'm told only this afternoon that an injunction has been filed, and you hear that first on Mason and Guests, and there may not be an election. We're going to be going to Ghana and speak to one of the lawyers intimately involved in this case. And it's a very serious situation, as we know. Our good friend, Mr. Sanasi, along with Calvin Hope, challenging for that position of president of West Indies and vice president, respectively. Ricky Skerritt is there, of course, along with Dr. Shallow. And we want to focus on Guyana. We also hope to hear from Dave Cameron, who is going to be joining us a little bit later on the show. Dave Cameron, the former president of Cricket West Indies, has kindly consented to join us. And we, of course, will be going around the region. But without any further ado, I see my good friend Toby Radford online, the former batting coach. Toby, you look cold. How are you, my friend? Good evening to you, sir. Turn your mic on.
Muted.
Yes. Okay, you're muted, Tony. Yes, I think we're hearing you now. How are you, my friend?
I'm on now. Sorry. I'm very well, thanks. I hope you're well, too.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's talk about Jason Holder. He's under the microscope. He's been captain of the West Indies side for some 5 years. I understand that the selectors may even be considering for Sri Lanka in terms of the test matches that I'm hearing, that Craig Baffett's name is going to go forward. Tell me, do you think Jason Holder is tired?
No, and I think, look, clearly the West Indies did well in Bangladesh. I think they surprised everybody, not least Bangladesh, probably their own supporters as well. They performed really well. But it's very easy to get carried away, isn't it? You have a couple of big wins like that, and then suddenly, you know, we've done it because Craig Brathwaite's captain and Jason wasn't captain. I mean, who's to know if Jason had been captain, whether you'd have had the two wins anyway? I wasn't there, but I watched it the same as you did, and I followed it fairly closely. Mm-hmm. It looked to me as if Warrican and Cornwall bowled exceptionally well, probably out-bowled the Bangladesh spinners. And obviously, Carl Myers played one of the great innings, one of the great chases, you know, to chase 390-odd, put 400 on in the last game. They batted well. Bonner batted well. There were a lot of very good individual performances, and because individuals play well and you win two matches, to me, that isn't down purely to captaincy. You know, clearly Craig's gone in and done a good job. But as I say, who would have said, even if Jason had been there, you wouldn't have won 2-0 anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to ask you the question. Would you stay with Craig Brathwaite as captain?
No, I'd stay with the captain who was there before. And, you know, I think it was raised the other day. Somebody mentioned about Virat Kohli. They lost the game in Australia. He went home for the birth of his child. They then suddenly won a couple of games. But when they then just started the test series against England in India, nobody questioned whether Kohli should come back in and captain. He just clearly came back in because he was the captain. Hmm. The fact that West Indies have won two games, which is brilliant, and I'm delighted and everyone's delighted, I don't think you put it purely down to the captaincy. I think you've had some really good individual performances with bat and ball, which I'm delighted at. And look, I'm delighted as well that they're playing against Sri Lanka coming up. We've had a really tough time. They've just lost in South Africa. They've lost against England at home. They're struggling. This is the perfect time now, I think, for West Indies to go and get another series win and back up the great work that they've just done over in Bangladesh. Mm-hmm. But I would keep the captaincy the way it was before. Craig is still in there. He'd be useful, obviously, talking to Jason. He's an experienced player. He's clearly batting well as well. It looked as if he batted well and batted with a bit more impetus and a bit more purpose up front. And he clearly led it well. But Jason's led it well before. The team's won test matches before with Jason running it. So I wouldn't be, personally, I wouldn't be looking to change it.
All right. Well, thanks for your opening shots. Of course, you're an opening batsman. You know about batting, and you did pretty well. Dave Cameron, the former president of Cricket West Indies, has joined us. And we're also going to be going to Guyana because a couple of developments there as well that we want to touch, and a lawyer who's intimately involved in this is on the line as well. We want to look at that situation in relation to Guyana. Dr. Andrew Ford has joined me as well as my co-host. Let me say hello to Dave Cameron. Hello, Dave. Nice to see you. Hello, David. Are you Dave or are you David?
Hey, good afternoon. I am Wycliffe.
I know that. Well, first of all, you must be smarting over that victory against Barbados. I can imagine what is life like for you in Jamaica. 87 for 8. You made, 218. Barbados won 25 for 2 and all hell broke loose. What a performance by Jamaica. The Scorpions, they stung the Barbadians, didn't they?
Yeah, it's a kind of bittersweet for me, Andrew, that the game, even though Jamaica won, I thought the game, the tournament hasn't gone as well as I would have liked, the scoring and the cricket in general. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, what are you doing nowadays, Dave?
I have a couple of private equity companies, CEO of a firm, and a number of different things.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
As we speak, yeah.
Mm. Do you miss being president of Cricket West Indies?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think so.
You don't?
I think I'm I'm much happier in my present situation.
All right, I see. Well, you went public recently. I know Dr. Ford has got a couple of questions for you. You're supporting Anand Sanasi and Calvin Hope. Can you explain to the Mason and Guest family why?
Performance.
Okay.
Simple. Calvin and Anand has demonstrated Barbados cricket, Guyana cricket, the leading cricket nations in our region. And if they can transfer what they've done at their respective territorial board level to West Indies cricket, then we can only go forward.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't seen anything that this new administration has done that has given me any confidence to say that they're the right team to go forward.
Mm-hmm. So you're giving Skerrick, the administration, a failing grade? Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Well, again, I've said it at another forum. I'm not sure how to grade them because they didn't tell me what they were going to do, apart from remove me from office. So on that basis, they have won. But I'm not sure what else that they're able to do.
Mm-hmm. Some people are saying that you must give Skerrick a chance because of COVID. You agree with that?
Yeah, and listen, leaders lead, and others find excuses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an interesting one. I think that's a good time to bring Dr. Ford in. Dr. Ford, you're a leader, aren't you? How are you, my friend? You agree with that?
Yeah, and listen, leaders lead, and others find excuses.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That's an interesting one. I think that's a good time to bring Dr. Ford in. Dr. Ford, you're a leader, aren't you? How are you, my friend?
Hi, good night, Andrew, and good night to all the panelists and the listeners. Mr. Cameron, you had your tenure as Cricket West Indies president. You rationalized the economics and the payment of the 120 professional players and the elite squads. Three white ball champion, world championships, beat England here just at the end of your tenure. What are the challenges that really are presented to a president of the Cricket West Indies, and what other things would you like to see Cricket West Indies achieve that we're deficient in?
Yeah, really and truly, Dr. Ford, the one thing that we haven't done, which we were moving towards getting done, was really improving the territorial boards. And that's why I'm saying, when I look at the cricket in the... I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed with the play that I'm seeing. We are now turning our attention to open the box. We're turning our attention to improving the play at the territorial board level, because we have to. That's where we need to.
Don't call it weekend when you go down.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello?
Are you hearing me? Yes. You know.
Yes.
We missed a bit of the first part.
Mm.
Continue, Dave.
Yeah. Are you hearing me?
Yeah, we're hearing you loud and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I was just saying that the issues are real at the territorial board level. Is trying to help the territorial boards along to improve their own setup, which is why we introduced the franchise system.
Mm-hmm.
Get the best 120 that level, and that would be my biggest disappointment.
Do you think so? You don't think the franchise system has been working as well as it should, in addition to the territorial boards becoming stronger generally?
No, I don't think so. We reverted to having just national players playing on the team, and that is a backward step. You know, and again, I just want to point out that, you know, we're all singing the accolades of the team that just won, but
but it's all down to the franchise system that essentially produced the Kyle Myers and Blackwood and Rakim Kwano.
What are your views on the West Indies first policy that you tried to institute? Some thought that it was inhibiting players from pursuing other sources of revenue and still playing for us. On reflection, not that concern. How do you, when you reflect on the West Indies first policy, how do you think? Do you think it was a good thing that you were trying to do back then? Dave, you're muted again.
Dave?
Did you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Dave?
Yeah. No. His first policy got off top there. And we really never had a chance. We've never been given a chance to explain what we were trying to do. And so if I just take 2 minutes
sure.
to explain. It was never about not wanting the players to play around the world. We respected that. We accept that. But we West Indies cricket doesn't have a product if we don't have our best players playing. So we needed to find a way to, for our players to have an understanding that you can't play everything. And in the early days, I had a conversation with the players about, you know, advising us, telling us what is it that you're going to play so that we can plan together and understand where you're going to be available. And so the selectors can understand where they want to go. After the strike occurred in India, players just decided that they're not going to play for the reduced salaries. And so the West Indies first policy never had actually got a chance. The issue is, Dr. Ford, guess the region, is that West Indies cricket window for playing international cricket has been diminishing every year. And so if we only make money when we're at home and your window is diminishing, if you don't have a good product on the field, you don't have good competition. Nobody wants to play. And so it's a double-edged sword. And so we were hopeful that we could explain that to our players. And we started. We took the players to Miami to explain to them the new dispensation and what we're trying to do. And then we had a strike in India, and everything just went downhill from there. It was very difficult to retrieve the situation. We had an amnesty to say, you know, come back and play, come and play the World Cup qualifiers, and some players decided that they wouldn't. And so it was never intended to disenfranchise anybody, but to look at what is happening in New Zealand. The players play franchise cricket, but they give their all to New Zealand when New Zealand is on the stage. And that's all we're saying. You as our senior player, you can't play everything. And so that's really where we're at.
Okay. When you look back at your tenure as Cricket West Indies president, are there any things that you regret? There were some criticisms about helping to change the structure of Cricket West Indies. There were also some personal things leveled at you regarding the way you related to leaders and to the press and also other criticisms relating to finances. Are there any things that you, on reflection?
No, not really. Dr. Ford, again, the challenges where it all started. I was anointed to be the chairman of the West Indies cricket in October 2012. And by December, the powers within the region viewed that I should not be the president. And so I was the first person in the region that actually said that the board of directors had decided that they believed in my way forward. And powers outside of the board felt that I should not be the chairman. And so I had to actually run a campaign to become president. And I think that's where it all started. So if I didn't have to run a campaign, so to speak, to become president, then all some of the things we're talking about. But for example, you say how I dealt with prime ministers. Try and recall and tell me at what point did I ever say anything about any prime minister. Prime ministers criticized me. I never responded. Players, and we weren't beating anybody. And although you, cricket is and sport is very emotional, and some of us love the named players, the truth is they were not providing us with world-class performances that were allowing us to win matches consistently. And we needed to find a way to have them challenged, to create more places, more positions for players. And that's what we've been able to do. So in hindsight, I am happy that I did that, because that's the reason why we've unearthed some amount of talent today, that we could have 21 players playing Abu Dhabi T10 and have a comfortable and had a quality team being able to compete in Bangladesh. So, you know, you have to take the good with the bad. If we didn't stick to our guns and continued on that road, then, you know, I'm not sure where we would have been today. We were squeezed in the Test Championships at the end of it all, making 9 teams. We were never supposed to be in it. And I think partly because we won the 3 championships in 2016, etc., that we were ended up being squeezed into the Test Championship. So these are all things that are happening at a global level that you can't really speak about. But you had to be dealing with them. And so, you know, all I said to you is that we make decisions with the information that we have. And we would not want to change any of the decisions that we made. We keep talking about that players, I had issues with players. There are maybe 4 or 5 players who we deem the popular players who, because they have a large Twitter following, are the ones that had problem with the new system. But if you poll the majority of the 200-300 players that have benefited under the system, I'm sure you'll get a different view. So again, it's all perspective. And I'm very comfortable that I gave the best to West Indies cricket that I knew how. And so no regrets, disappointments in that we had that strike in India. And, you know, that we will have another discussion. One of the reasons I've never been on this program, because Andrew Mason got the letter from India, from Billy Heaven. And Billy said that he didn't get the letter and he didn't attend the meeting. And Andrew was on this program in the afternoon. Should Dave Cameron resign and going on? And he has a letter that I've been asked to pay $42 million. And so I've never trusted journalists. I'm not even trusting the journalists today, but really? I felt that it was time that some of you understand some of the challenges that I've had, you know, being president of Cricket West Indies. The deck was always stacked, and so I had to be fighting from day one to produce results, to get to where we are at. And so, therefore, I can't necessarily, you know, be a little... to apologize for what I did, because I was always fighting. Nobody came in and said, even we won 3 championships, it was still a problem. You know, you guys not doing anything. We won the championships in spite of your administration. We bought the CCG stadium. Well, you know, we shouldn't have done it. But now everybody is praising the acquisition. So Dr. Ford, it's perspective. And so one day, you and I will be able to reflect on the 6 years and my 12 years in leadership of Cricket West Indies. And if you understand the background to some of the things that went on, you may agree with me or disagree with me.
Mm-hmm. What about the structure of the Cricket West Indies? So it hasn't changed. Do you think that was an inhibiting factor for us not doing as well as we have over the last 2 decades?
No, Dr. Ford. This whole thing about structure came about when Ken Gordon became president of Cricket West Indies, and he sent a letter to PJ Patterson, the Honorable PJ Patterson, to look at the structure of West Indies cricket. And in the letter, I remember distinctly, his view was that there were not enough eminent persons at the West Indies Cricket Board. And so all this argument about structure has been about persons, in their view, the who's not sitting at the West Indies Cricket Board. Interestingly, in the last 2 years, I haven't heard anybody spoken about structure. So it can't be about structure. It must have been because Dave Cameron was chairman and we felt that Dave shouldn't be the chairman. And I have many examples of that, but we don't go there at this point in time. So you can talk about the structures all day long. And my own view is that, yes, we needed independent persons, and we sought to do that. But it's very difficult to tell the people who are responsible for development of the game within their region that they're not of the stature to be a director of Cricket West Indies. That is the issue. It has nothing to do with their whether they are competent or not. It has to do with their stature within their own countries, and so therefore they shouldn't be, you know, president or director. And so if persons want to be associated with cricket, then they should get involved at the territorial board level. Because like I said to you, the failing situation is at the territorial board level. And you look at what's happening in Guyana and Barbados, they're producing talent. The majority of the talent under 16 all the way through is coming out of those two territories. And again, that's why I support them.
Mm. All right.
Well, some say that. You go, Andrew.
Oh, yeah. I just want to touch basically, Dave, on this whole question of Guyana, because it's a hotbed now. But yeah, you're supporting a candidate that has not had elections for 10 years. You want to respond to that?
Andrew, from Dr. Julian Hunt's time.
Yes.
We've had many reports. We've had different commissions in Guyana.
Yes.
We've had persons going down there and overseeing elections. So that is your view.
Right.
There's another view that elections have been held every year.
Okay.
Well, and again, that's a court matter and whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Andrew, you know, you're asking me to get into domestic politics.
No.
In the same way that but hold on. I'm saying to you, in the same way, there has been a view about my tenure at West Indies Cricket, and there's a view against the Democratic Labour Party in Barbados and the Barbados Labour Party. Cricket is no different.
Right. Right.
Why should I take sides in a domestic dispute?
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying to you is that elections have been held. They've been reported to us. We've had persons gone down there to be a part of the election process. And I was comfortable with that situation. What's now being said about that's all legal and that's politics, and I don't want to get into that.
Okay. Just hold your horses, Dave, because we have so many things to discuss with you this evening. I think it's about time, based on what you're saying. But you're saying that elections were actually held in Guyana. Arud Gosai is actually on the line. He's intimately involved. He's joined us from Guyana, and perhaps you can get a perspective from him. Good evening to you, Arud. How are you?
Hi. Good evening, Mr. Mason. Good evening to your panelists. Good evening to your listeners. Fine, thank you. Thanks for having me on your program.